أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of the Almighty God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, the one who has created everything in utmost perfection. And may the peace and blessings of the Almighty God be upon his pure and beloved messenger, the peak of his creation, the symbol of humanity, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, and his immaculate progeny of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, especially the leader of our time, the awaited Savior, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja. May Allah hasten his reappearance and make us all amongst his sincere and dedicated servants. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifina'ik. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, verse 42, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد أرسلنا إلى أمم من قبلك فأخذناهم بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يتضرعون. And indeed, we have sent messengers to other nations before you, Ya Rasulullah. O people, listen to these words of admonishment. And then we seized those nations with misfortune and hardship. Why? For what purpose? So that they might humble themselves before us. So that they might turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do good. Sadaqallahu al-Aliyyul Azeem. One very important question that many people ask today, including some atheists, is that if God really exists, how come he doesn't punish people for all their crimes and sins like he did in the past? Some people critical of the Quran tell us, your Quran claims that God destroyed entire villages, entire nations in the past. How come in our modern time this doesn't happen? We don't see a clear divine punishment obliterating an entire nation. How come we don't even see grand miracles like those that the Quran and even the Bible speaks about? How come we don't see the splitting of the sea as the Quran portrays to us about Prophet Musa alayhi salam? This has weakened the faith of some people doubting these Quranic reports. And then today, with COVID-19, many people are wondering, is COVID-19 one of those grand global divine punishments like the punishments that befell Ad and Thamud and the people of Prophet Nuh and other nations? In our discussion tonight, let's examine this very important subject of divine punishments. The first point that we'll examine is this one. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really destroy past nations? When you read the Holy Quran, it becomes very evident, very clear, that numerous peoples were completely destroyed and obliterated due to their arrogance, due to their corruption, their deviation, and their utter rejection of the truth. One of those nations is the nation of Ad. The people of Ad were a nation who lived around Yemen. They were very strong, they were very powerful. Even physically, they were strong. Our ahadith depict them as being giants. And certain verses in the Holy Quran point to this reality. They had big bodies. Their cities were unmatched in their splendor, in their size. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in Surah Al-Fajr. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Do you not see what your Lord did to the people of Ad? إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. Iram, according to many exegetes, is the name of their city. The name of their city was Iram. ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. It had these big pillars. أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Allah the Great states that there was no city like the city of Iram. They had these huge pillars upon which those magnificent palaces were built. But then they became decadent. Instead of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the blessings that He bestowed upon them, they became extremely corrupt. They drowned in paganism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them warnings. Allah sent them signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them Prophet Hud alayhi salam. He warned them, because that's one role of a prophet, to warn you. If I see that you're approaching danger, if I see that there's a scorpion on your back, isn't it my obligation to warn you? The prophets are warners. Mubashirina wa mundhirin. They give you good news. If you do good, Allah will reward you. But at the same time, they also warn us. But they kept rejecting. They lived after Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. And Prophet Hud was one of the descendants of Prophet Nuh. Our hadiths and narrations indicate that they were the first people to worship idols after the flood that destroyed the people of Nuh. So they went back to idolatry. He kept warning them, they kept challenging him. They told Prophet Hud, our idols are strong, just like us. Don't you see how we're giants, we're strong, we build these pillars? We're strong too. The people of Nuh, their idols were weak. That's why they drowned. But our idols are strong. This was their corrupt philosophy. He promised them a divine punishment. For 7 years, they were stricken with drought. But still, they did not learn their lesson. Then finally, a black cloud loomed in the distance. They claimed, yes, now the rain is coming. Our idols are going to support us. He had warned them. He had given them one last chance. Stop your evil. Stop your corruption. Stop your decadence. Otherwise, the punishment will uproot you. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They challenged him. He warned them that this cloud that's coming, it's not a rain cloud. It's carrying all types of punishments. They did not listen. They did not repent. So finally, what happened? A severe storm inflicted on them extensive damage. Damage that effectively uprooted them. Part of the storm was a fierce windstorm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in Surah Al-Haqqa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Amma adun fa'uhliku birihin sarsarin atiya. As for the people of Ad, how were they obliterated? Through a powerful windstorm. This incessant windstorm, unwavering windstorm. سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ حُسُومًا. This windstorm continued for how long? For a long period of time. 7 nights and 8 days. Imagine a fierce Category 5 hurricane locked on a city for 7 days. It will just obliterate that city, right? We've seen what a hurricane can do, what winds can do. It completely destroyed them and removed any trace of life from their city. All their palaces, all their big pillars, their idols, nothing helped them. It was all destroyed. فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَى كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. You look at them, these big bodies, they look like uprooted trunks of hollow palm trees. Just scattered over there, completely destroyed. The winds would play with their bodies, pick up their bodies and throw them around. فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ. The Quran states, did any of them remain? They were all destroyed. This is a lesson. This was the people of Ad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through divine punishment, uprooted them. Now you also have the people of Thamud who came after them. They lived in a mountainous area between Hijaz and Sham. The prophet whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them was Prophet Salih alayhi salam. Just like Ad, they also worshipped the idols. They had 40 idols, they built temples for them, they started to worship them. And you know one thing about idolatry and paganism is that those nations wanted to justify their corruption. Look, the idol is not going to dictate to you laws like Allah does, like God does, right? So you dictate your own laws based on your own desires. And when you deviate and spread mischief and corruption and injustice, who's going to stop you? Is the idol going to speak out against you? Of course not. It was a convenient way to justify their corruption. So they built these temples for these idols. The biggest of those idols were wood, Hubal and Lat, they worship them. Now the people of Thamud became wealthy, they had extensive farmlands, and their hearts became hard. Sometimes when you're drowned in blessings, you take everything for granted and you start to deviate. He kept inviting them to the path of goodness, they kept rejecting. They told him, "Ma anta illa basharun mithluna." Salih, don't think that you're better than us. He never claimed to be better than them, but he had a message. They despised him for that. You're just like a human. You're just like us, a human being. Fa'ti bi'ayatin in kunta min as-sadiqin. We challenge you. Show us a miracle. He told them, okay, what miracle do you want? They told him, you see this big mountain, this big rock? We want a camel with a baby looking like it to come from this mountain. If you're really a prophet and you're connected to God, ask your Lord to create a she-camel. And they gave him very, you know, exhausting details about how this camel should look like, how much milk it should produce, what taste should the milk have. They were really, you know, they were really stubborn. They challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told them, look, if I bring this miracle for you, will you believe? They said, yes. We've asked for a sign, show us that sign. My dear brothers and sisters, be careful when you ask Allah for a sign. Sometimes I want a sign, a personal sign from God. But if Allah sends you a personal sign, then you have no excuse. If you deviate, if you sin, if you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah could punish you severely. Because then you have no excuse. You're surrounded with signs. Why is it that sometimes we're selfish? Allah, show me a sign that you exist. The billions of signs around you, the creation of the heavens and the earth, the fact that you are a living body created from dust, from water, every atom in your body, how it functions, aren't these signs that point you to the Creator? You still want more and more signs? Yes, ask Allah to strengthen your heart. But if you want a miracle, there's a liability with miracles. There's a consequence. When Allah shows you a miracle and yet you reject, or you fall short, or you disobey Him, or you doubt Him, then that's it. There's no room for excuses over here. So they asked for a miracle. He says, okay, I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to produce that miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his prayers. He granted them their request. The she-camel with its baby camel, they emerged from the rock of the mountain. What did they do in the end? In the end, these vicious people, they slaughtered the she-camel and its baby. At that point, he told them, look, every sign I have brought to you, you have rejected it. A massive earthquake occurred, which was triggered by a powerful storm. That was their punishment. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. The earthquake just destroyed all of them. You also have the people of Prophet Lut alayhi salam, who came after them. We're now looking at the era of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The people of Prophet Lut became very morally corrupt. They committed many vices, very immoral, homosexuality, foul language. There was just no decency in their society anymore. And in fact, once they tried to rape the guests of Prophet Lut. They had this habit, if a stranger would pass by their city, they would try to rape that person. Enough is enough. After many warnings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to destroy them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمُنَا. When the time came, and our command came, جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. We flipped their city. وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهَا حِجَارَةً مِنْ سِجِّينٍ مَنْضُودٍ. We also hurled rocks, stones at them that destroyed them. Allah turned the city upside down, and rocks rained down on them. SubhanAllah, they used to hurl foul, indecent, profane language at one another, so Allah hurled stones at them. Don't underestimate the sin of using foul language. Unfortunately, some people in our communities, a lot of youth, they think it's okay to cuss at each other, to curse one another. This is a major sin. One of the sins that block your dua from being answered is foul language. Allah tells the angels, do not raise the dua of such a person, because he uses indecent words, foul language. Keep your mouth pure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer your prayers. And subhanAllah, just as they twisted morality, Allah twisted the city on them. One narration states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispatched Prophet Angel Jibra'il, and he carried the city with the tips of his wings. Once it was high, he flipped it upside down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states this in the Holy Quran, that he flipped their city upside down, and that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. So in the past, you had grand divine punishments that destroyed the evil ones. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَكَمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا. How many a village did we destroy? فَجَاءَهَا بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا أَوْ هُمْ قَائِلُونَ. Sometimes at night they're sleeping, the punishment would come. Sometimes they're taking a nap in the afternoon, early morning, it would come. Or in the morning. Or Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 11, وَكَمْ قَصَمْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ كَانَتْ ظَالِمًا. How many a village that was ظَالِم. The people of this village just became oppressive, unjust. We destroyed them, we uprooted them. وَأَنْشَأْنَا بَعْدَهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. We created different peoples after them. This has happened many times in history. Now when the punishment would fall, repentance would not be accepted. When the punishment would actually take effect and start to destroy them, it was too late for them to repent. Because such repentance during the fall of a punishment has no value. It's not really voluntary. You're being destroyed now. Repent while you can. That's why we have hadith state, as long as you have not seen the angel of death, your repentance is accepted, regardless of what you've done in your life. If you sincerely repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. But at the moment of death, when suddenly death strikes you, it's too late. It's out of necessity. You're not voluntarily repenting. It's voluntary repentance that counts. So the first point is that such divine punishments did exist in the past. The second point, why did these punishments stop? We don't see these types of uprooting divine punishments in our era, where Allah sends a punishment and uproots an entire city or village or nation. When did it stop? Did it stop? Yes, such types of punishment, in Arabic we call this adab al-istisal, did stop. Now Ahl Sunnah, they have narrations and their works that state this types of punishment stopped after the revelation of the Torah. So the last of those divine punishments that came in the form of a miracle was the splitting of the sea and the drowning of the Pharaoh. Once Musa received the Old Testament, such types of punishments stopped. And so there's a hadith attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudari. He states that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, ما أهلك الله قوما ولا قرنا ولا أمة ولا أهل قرية منذ أنزل التوراة على وجه الأرض. Since the day Allah sent the Torah on the face of the planet, Allah did not destroy entire villages or entire peoples. بعذاب من السماء, a divine punishment that comes directly from above. Except the nation that was turned into monkeys. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Holy Quran. Ashab al-Sabt, the people of the Sabbath. The only exception that the Prophet makes is this exception. And then according to this hadith, he cites this verse in the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Qasas, verse 43. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ. We have given Musa the book. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ الْأُولَى. After we have destroyed the previous nations. It seems that this is of the past. Now that Musa came, there is no such destruction. This is one opinion. Now in our hadith sources, we have a different perspective here. The other opinion, one that is adopted by our scholars, is that such types of punishments stopped after the advent of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, through the blessed existence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Allah lifted such divine punishments that would uproot an entire nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 33, after the Quraysh had challenged the Prophet, if you're really truthful, send the punishment, let your Lord uproot us. They challenged him. What was the response of the Quran? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah would not punish them severely while you are amongst them. Ya Rasulullah, your blessed existence is here on earth. Allah is not going to uproot them. That's the barakah of Rasulullah. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And Allah would not punish them while there are people who do istighfar. There are believers who ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah has mercy on them. So the Prophet was a source of safety for the people. What about in our era or after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? The Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, are a source of safety for the people of the earth. Sometimes you wonder, with all the wars going on, with all the injustice, how come God doesn't just obliterate the people on the planet? I've heard this from some people. One reason is the presence of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. In our era, that's Al-Imam al-Mahdi, abjalallahu ta'ala faraja. This is well documented in Sunni and Shia hadith. Ahmad ibn Hanbal narrates in his Musnad this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. In this hadith, the Prophet states, "An-nujumu amanun li ahli as-sama." The stars are a means of safety for the inhabitants of the heavens, of the skies, the universe. What does that mean? Maybe in the past people did not understand this, but today we understand how stars, through their gravitational force, they keep their systems in check. Today, why is the solar system so organized? Through the gravitational force of the sun. If you lose that gravitational force, the planets will collide, they will exit their orbit. So the stars are a means of safety. They bring stability and organization to their surroundings. Then the Prophet states, إذا ذهبت النجوم ذهب أهل السماء. If the stars are extinguished, they go, that's it. The inhabitants of the heavens will go too. Then the Prophet states, وَأَهْلُ بَيْتِي أَمَانٌ لِأَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. And my family is a means of safety for the people of the earth. If my Ahlul Bayt go, there goes the people of the earth. One reason why Allah doesn't send divine punishment is because of the presence of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. We have many narrations about this. One beautiful narration is found in the book Ikmal al-Din. This hadith is from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He was asked, مَا فَضْلُكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Tell us about one of your virtues, the Ahlul Bayt. The Imam alayhi salam states, very beautifully quoting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, that you see the planets, the stars, they are a means of safety for the people of the universe, or the inhabitants of the universe, the inhabitants of the heavens. If those stars go, the inhabitants of the skies go. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi stated, my Ahlul Bayt, my family, is a means of safety for my ummah. So if my Ahlul Bayt go, the promised punishment would come to my ummah. The Ahlul Bayt, their presence on earth is a source of mercy for everyone. Yes, so many wars have been committed the last 12, 13 centuries. So many innocent people have been killed. So much injustice, there's so much inequality, all types of injustice. But because of the presence of Imam al-Mahdi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the planet from a major punishment that would destroy the people or destroy entire nations. Thank Allah for blessing you with Imam al-Mahdi. Even if you don't see the Imam, this is one benefit to having an Imam on earth. Another reason why such punishment stopped is because of the believers who do istighfar. Yes, there are many corrupt people, but there are a lot of people who turn to Allah. They do good deeds. They do istighfar, they ask Allah for forgiveness. In one hadith, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam states that there are two means of safety for you, O people. One is the presence of Rasulullah, the other is the istighfar. Now that the Prophet has left, you still have the istighfar. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ Allah would not punish them while you were amongst them, Ya Rasulullah. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not punish them when they do istighfar. That's really important. There are many believers, my dear brothers and sisters. Through them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from massive punishments. The reason why some of those previous nations, Allah destroyed them is because that's it. There was no good person amongst them. Why did Allah send a flood on the people of Nuh and destroyed them? Look at Surah Nuh. وَقَالَ نُوحٌ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَارًا Nuh said, My Lord, do not leave out of these unbelievers even a single dweller on earth. Why? If you do, they will misguide your people. وَلَا يَلِدُ إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا They'll just give birth to unbelievers. That's it. There was no hope. A small group of people, 80 or so, believed in Prophet Nuh. And the others, they were intent on corruption. Allah destroyed them. But if you have believers, through them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us protection. A beautiful hadith from Al-Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَدْفَعُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ الْوَاحِدْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الْفَنَاءِ Through one mu'min, one believer, Allah will protect an entire village from being destroyed. In another hadith, Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam states, he says, I swear by Allah, if it weren't for you, the believers, our followers, the Ahlul Bayt, those who are truly the Shia of Ahlul Bayt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have blessed all other people on earth, especially people who oppose you, other schools of thought who oppose you. It's because of you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them. In another beautiful hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he tells Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he tells him, O Ali, إِنَّ فِي السَّمَاءِ حَرَسًا وَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ You've got guards in the heavens, they are the angels. And there are guards on earth and they are your Shia, O Ali. Through them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averts the punishment. In another hadith from Yunus ibn Dhabyan, he says, Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam states, and he's speaking to the Shia specifically, there are those Shia who pray. It is because of them that Allah protects the community. And He protects those who don't pray. There are some people who don't give their religious dues, the zakat, from the Shia. They deserve punishment. Allah could punish them. But because there are Shia who pay their dues, Allah blesses them. There are Shia who don't go to the Hajj. They should be punished. The Imam states, but because there are Shia who go to the Hajj, Allah averts the punishment. Sometimes I may deserve a punishment because of a sin that I've committed. But because my neighbor, my fellow community member is doing good deeds, through them Allah blesses me. One very amazing, beautiful hadith by Al-Imam Abi Ja'far Al-Baqir alayhi salam. He talks about the people who read Quran. There are two categories. They don't even know what they're saying, or they try to take advantage of the Qur'an. Then he states there is one category of Qur'an readers or reciters who know the meaning of Qur'an. وَرَجُلٌ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ فَوَضَعَ دَوَاءَ الْقُرْآنِ عَلَىٰ دَاءِ قَلْبِهِ What a beautiful expression. The Imam states, you have a category of people. They read the Qur'an, they take the medicine of the Qur'an and they put it on the disease of their hearts. Allahu Akbar. Do we do that? The Qur'an is a prescription. Use it. It cures your diseases, spiritual, moral diseases. فَأَسْهَرَ بِهِ لَيْلَةً You see him in love with the Qur'an. He spends the entire night with the Holy Qur'an. He gets up with the Qur'an. He sleeps thinking of the Qur'an. The Imam alayhi salam states, it is through these people that Allah protects you from punishment and Allah sends the sustenance on you. Thank Allah, my dear brothers and sisters, for such type of people in the community. So one reason why these punishments stopped is the presence of the Ahlul Bayt. The second reason is there are believers who do istighfar, they do good deeds. The third reason, and this one's really important, life is a trial. Today the world has become interconnected, so the trial has become somewhat different in its form and figure. Imagine if today such a punishment happens. Allah sends a punishment that destroys an entire country. And it's clearly a miracle. The test would be too obvious. It's not a trial anymore. In the past, this would be a trial because villages were not really interconnected. And so it's very important to understand why you don't see grand miracles in our era. You do see miracles, believe me, life itself is a miracle. Every moment you breathe, it's a miracle. But how come we don't see, you know, miracles the likes of Prophet Jesus reviving the dead, Prophet Moses splitting the sea, Prophet Sulaiman and the flying carpet? How come we don't see these anymore? There's no need for them. Allah used those miracles when people had doubts, religion was about to go extinct. Allah had to save religion through them. Today, there are many people who believe in God and believe in the right religion. There's no need for a miracle, really. Whenever religion would come to the point where it's about to go extinct, Allah has to bring down the miracle to save the people. If the Pharaoh would have destroyed Musa and his people, that's it. The believers would have gone. God's religion would have gone in that part of history. Allah had to save Prophet Musa. This is no longer applicable today. You have many believers. We have many signs. And in our era, we have the Quran. All those miracles ended with their time. They were temporal miracles. But the Quran is an everlasting miracle. Study the Quran and you'll see how it is a miracle scientifically, from a literary eloquence aspect, from a historical aspect. The power of the Quran, the detail of the Quran, it's just fascinating. It's a miracle. So if someone asks you, why don't I see a miracle today? Tell them there is, Habibi. Just go study the Quran. You don't know anything about the Quran. Study the Quran and the depths of the Quran and you'll see how the Quran is a miracle. So if today a grand miracle like that would happen, a severe punishment would destroy the people of the earth like that, then where's the trial? Obviously everyone would believe. Because then you see, the whole world would see, Allah wants to test us, wants to give us room to maneuver, to try us and monitor us. And then the other reason, as we mentioned, is the presence of believers and mu'mineen. Now, is COVID-19, and this is a very important point, one of those punishments? In Surah Al-An'am, verse 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that we have sent messengers to previous nations and we took them with misfortune, with hardship, so that they might humble themselves. There is no doubt that COVID-19, regardless of its origin, falls under this category. COVID-19 affected the entire world. We learned many lessons. We started to appreciate blessings that we had taken for granted before that. It did discipline many people. From that aspect, it is a type of punishment, regardless, again, of its origin. Some people think, you know, it naturally, spontaneously evolved from some animal in China, whether a bat or that other badger, whatever you call it, or it was made in a lab. It doesn't matter. The fact that it spread like this, and Allah allowed it to spread like this, it's a means of discipline for humanity. When people insist on sins, they need to be disciplined. When people invent new sins, look at the types of sins in the last 20 years that have been invented really and made accessible to people. New diseases and viruses emerge. We have a hadith from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam in which the Imam states, كُلَّمَا أَحْدَثَ الْعِبَادُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. Every time people invent a new sin, أَحْدَثَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَعْرِفُونَ. Allah will invent a new trial for them, a new disease, a new difficulty. Another hadith in the book Thawab al-A'mal, attributed to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, states, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi states, لَمْ تَظْهَرِ الْفَاحِشَةُ فَيَقُومُ قَطٌ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوهَا. Whenever indecency, immorality spreads, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a type of plague إِلَّا ظَهَرَ فِيهُمُ الطَّاعُونَ وَالْأَوْجَاعُ. New types of plagues emerged that people did not know about, that their ancestors were not familiar with. COVID-19 does fall under this category, my dear brothers and sisters. Regardless of its origin, it's a learning moment from us. Learn. Stop these sins. Stop the injustice. You think your technology is so powerful? There are some arrogant global leaders who say we have the most beautiful army, the most powerful technology. Couldn't save you from an invisible virus, from that invisible enemy. This is a learning moment for us. So it is a type of discipline, but at the same time, it's a means of rahmah for the believers. Some people ask, can a believer be stricken with a plague? Of course. We have a hadith from the Imam alayhi salam in which he states that the punishment, plagues, they are a means of curse for the unbeliever because they ruin their life. See, the unbeliever, the atheist for instance, the one who rejects God, he doesn't believe in the akhirah. That's it. It's just this worldly life. So a plague disrupts your life for you. So it's a means of punishment for you. It's a curse on you. But for the mu'min, the Imam alayhi salam states, it's rahmah for him. Because it's purging you from your sins. Believers, if your life was disrupted, if you lost a loved one, if you struggled with COVID-19, it's okay. Thank Allah. Allah tried you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala washed off your sins. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have many narrations about this, that diseases, trials, difficulties, for the believer, they are a means of rahmah. It doesn't mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with you, Allah is angry at you, Allah wants to punish you. No, some people need to be disciplined. Allah disciplines them. But for many believers, we're talking about decent, good believers, it's a means of rahmah for them. It's a means for their purification, to prepare them for the akhirah. Now, will a global punishment occur again? Local punishments, we know, do occur. Local disasters. But through the dua, we can avoid greater punishments. I know some people are anxious, worried. How long will this pandemic continue? Through dua, you can change that. Especially the elders in our community. They're ibadah has a special value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hadith that both Sunni and Shia have narrated, attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, it states, لَوْلَا شُيُوخٌ رُكَّعَ. If it weren't for old people who do ruku and submit to Allah, and infant babies who breastfeed, and innocent animals, Allah would have uprooted us. All the sins that we've committed, Allah would have uprooted us. How many times do we challenge this merciful Lord? How many times do we challenge Allah and we reject His signs? And Allah gives us chance after chance after chance. And we keep fighting His laws, rejecting His laws, spreading mischief and corruption and immorality. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi teaches us, know the value of the elderly in your community. Those elders who bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go and kiss their hands today, my dear brothers and sisters. Through them, Allah thwarts major punishments. Allah has a system of cause and effect. Massive sins trigger massive punishments. But then Allah thwarts them through the presence of these elders, or the believers, or istighfar. If you do istighfar, you don't have to be amongst the elderly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see value in your ibadah. In fact, the ibadah of a young man or woman is more valuable because we have so many desires and distractions when we're young. Through istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us. Now, there will be one global punishment that will destroy the people before the Day of Judgment. This is mentioned in our hadith. And there's a verse in the Holy Quran that refers to that. That's Surah Al-An'am, verse 158. هَلْ يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. What? Do they wait either for the angels to appear? أَوْ يَأْتِيَ رَبُّكَ. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come to them. أَوْ يَأْتِيَ بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ. Or some clear signs from Allah will come to them. يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ. Yes. You're challenging, O unbelievers, one day before the day of judgment will come when the signs of God will be present here. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا. On that day, لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ. On that day, if you believe, it's not going to benefit you. It's too late. The punishment is now coming on you. Or people who claim to believe, but they never did any good deeds. It's not going to help them on that day. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam explains to us the deeper meaning of this verse. The Imam alayhi salam states there must be always a hujjah on earth being a source of guidance for the people. 40 days before the day of judgment, Allah will lift the hujjah. At that point, the door to repentance will be closed and the punishment will come down due to the corruption of the people. We can assume that this is after the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi. Many, many, many years after the reappearance of the Imam, when again some people start to become corrupt through their evil desires, Allah will lift the hujjah and the day of judgment will come. This is after the Imam, of course, rules with justice and you have a healthy system for a long time. But then Allah tries humanity again. So it seems that there will be one global punishment before the day of judgment. Let's believe now, my dear brothers and sisters, before it's too late. Now, when we talk about punishments, we end with this point. We conclude with the point about the killers of Imam Hussein. Their crime was the biggest crime in history. Did Allah punish them? All of the killers of Imam Hussein and everyone who participated in the killing of Imam Hussein, Allah destroyed them. Allah had them killed. Many of them were killed at the hands of Al-Mukhtar Al-Thaqafi and also Ibrahim, the son of Malik Al-Ashtar. They took it upon themselves to chase after the killers of Imam Hussein and to kill them. I'll share with you this interesting hadith. As Suddi narrates, he says, I came to Karbala in order to buy or sell some dates. A man from the tribe of Tay invited us for dinner. So at the dinner, we were discussing the fate of the killers of Imam Hussein. And we said, the people of Iraq, we said that whoever participated in the killing of Imam Hussein died a very nasty death. So this man told us, who was hosting us for dinner, this man told us, ما أكذبكم يا أهل العراق. You're such liars, O people of Iraq. I am one of those who participated in the killing of Hussein. Nothing happened to me. He says, I swear by God. As soon as he said that, he got up. There was an oil lamp. He started to fidget with the oil lamp in order to fix it because it was kind of extinguishing. When one of his fingers caught fire. He tried to extinguish the fire. The fire spread to his beard and then to his clothes. He tried to jump in the water to extinguish that fire, but nothing helped him. He died drowning and burning. Subhanallah. Every one of those killers of Imam Hussein was punished. In fact, after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, the skies rained blood for 6 months. We have authentic reports in Sunni and Shia hadith that this happened, my dear brothers and sisters. People sometimes would open their jugs of milk or water, they would see it turn into blood. There was a massive punishment on many people in the ummah who betrayed Imam Hussein, salawatullahi alayhi. But because of the presence of Imam Zain al-Abideen, one of the members of Ahlul Bayt was present on earth, and Al-Imam Al-Baqir alayhim as-salam, Allah did not uproot all those people at the time. But yes, chaos ensued. Until today, Kufa and Iraq. Look at the history of Kufa after Imam Hussein. Always plagued with troubles and problems and disasters. This was the punishment for those who betrayed Al-Imam Al-Hussein, salawatullahi alayhi. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, we admit that we are sinful. Humanity has crossed its limits. But Ya Allah, you are Arhamar Rahimin. You're the most merciful. And we turn to you and we do istighfar. And you've promised us in the Holy Quran that if we do istighfar, we truly repent, we ask you for forgiveness, you will forgive us. And we have the presence of our Master and Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. Ya Allah, protect us and lift this affliction, this virus, this COVID-19 through the barakah of al-Imam al-Mahdi. On such a night, we turn our hearts to Karbala. We turn our hearts to two warriors who offered their lives defending their uncle, Imam al-Husayn, salawatullahi alayhi. Aun and Muhammad. Aun and Muhammad are the grandsons of one of the best of God's creations. They are the grandsons of Ali through their mother Zainab. And they are the grandsons of Ja'far al-Tayyar through their father Abdullah. What an honor to have these grandfathers. And the greatest of all is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He is also their maternal grandfather. Imagine having these grandfathers, Rasulullah, Imam Ali, Ja'far al-Tayyar. Their father, Abdullah, could not join them to Karbala, either because he had trouble with his vision, so he could not come and help. He'd be a liability on the caravan of Imam Hussein. Or he was instructed by Imam Hussein to stay in Hijaz and to look over the affairs of Bani Hashim, or the Imam gave him another task. We don't exactly know. But we know that he supported the mission of Imam Hussein because he sent his two sons, Aun and Muhammad, to fight with Imam Hussein. He sends a letter with them to Imam Hussein. He tells them, go, join your uncle. If you don't believe in the message of Hussein, you're not going to send your two sons. On the night of Ashura, Aun and Muhammad, they renew their allegiance with their uncle Hussein. They promised him to stay firm. Our dear uncle, we won't leave you until we die defending you. There is no goodness in life after you. Some reports indicate that Lady Zainab alayhi salam told her sons on the night of Ashura or on the day of Ashura, she told them, my beloved sons, tomorrow the mother of Ali ibn al-Akbar will be proud. Ali will be martyred. The mother of Al-Qasim will be proud. Don't you want to make me proud tomorrow and on the day of judgment before Fatima that we defended her son Hussein? The dream of every mother is to see her offspring, is to see her children be prosperous, be successful, to marry them off. The dream of every mother is to attend the wedding of her son, of her daughter. But there was this mother in Karbala, her only dream was to see her two sons be a shaheed, sacrificing their lives for Imam Hussein. That's Lady Zainab alayhi salam. She had prepared these two warriors for such a day. On the day of Ashura, Aun and Muhammad, they see the companions fall one after the other. The death toll was rising. And they see Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam leaning towards a tent. And with a very heartbreaking voice, he would say, Ala hal min nasirin yansuruni? Ala hal min mu'inin yu'inuni? Isn't there anyone to support me, to defend these women and children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? They could not take it anymore. They went to their uncle Hussein, our dear uncle, please give us permission to go out and fight. We want to defend you. The Imam breaks into tears. When he saw these two brothers, it's as if he remembered his brotherhood with Imam al-Hassan. He told them, you're like my sons. How can I let you go? No, I don't give you permission. They go to their mother Zainab. Zainab tells them, why aren't you going? I prepared you for the battlefield. They say, Uncle Hussein is not giving us permission. According to some reports, Lady Zainab went up to Imam Hussein. She tells him, my beloved brother Hussein, is it fair that Ali ibn al-Akbar achieves shahada? And his mother becomes proud. And Qasim becomes shaheed, and his mother becomes proud. But you don't want your sister Zainab. to offer this sacrifice? You don't want your sister Zainab to have this honor, to be proud as well? At that point, Imam Hussein gives up. He says, okay, in that case, I will give them permission to fight. At that point, like warriors, they prepare themselves for the battlefield. They take their sword, their armor, and they go. Aun was indeed a warrior. He killed 3 horsemen and 18 foot soldiers. Just this young boy. And he would say so powerfully, with so much confidence, "In tunkiruni fa ana ibnu Ja'fari." If you don't know who I am, I'll tell you who I am. I am the son of Ja'far, Ja'far al-Tayyar. He's my grandfather. Shahidu sidqin fil jinani azhar. He is a shaheed who died in truth in the heavens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He flies with wings over there. This is enough for me as an honor to be from the line of Ja'far al-Tayyar. He kills many of them. He fights so bravely. As for Muhammad, he goes out to the battlefield and he recites these lines of poetry. Nashku ila Allahi min al-udwani. He says, I complain to Allah from these enemies. Qitala qawmin fil rada'imiyani. But these people, they have become blinded with their deviation. قَدْ تَرَكُوا مَعَالِمَ الْقُرْآنِ. They have abandoned the teachings of Quran. Look at the intellect of this young boy. وَمُحْكَمِ التَّنْزِيلِ وَالتِّبْيَانِ. They've abandoned the verses of the Holy Quran. وَأَظْهَرُوا الْكُفْرَ مَعَ الطُّغْيَانِ. They have shown nothing but kufr, but disbelief, but transgression. These two boys, they fight so courageously. But you have nearly 30,000 enemies surrounding you. They surround them from every direction, O believers. They strike them with their swords, with arrows, with rocks, until these boys fall to the ground. One report states that they called on their uncle Abul Fadl al-Abbas. As-salamu alayka ya Abul Fadl. Possibly because Abul Fadl al-Abbas had trained them when they were younger for the battlefield. It's as if they were saying, uncle, are you proud of us? With the skills that we have showed, are you proud of us for being so courageous in defending Abi Abdullah al-Hussein? Yes, these two shaheeds fall to the ground and their souls are elevated to Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'oon. Some reports indicate that Lady Zainab alayhi salam, when Ali ibn al-Akbar was killed, she cried. She almost broke down. When Al-Qasim was killed, she cried. When the baby was killed, she cried. But when her two sons were killed, Lady Zainab managed to hold back her tears to show that she approved of their martyrdom, to show that she's not weak in the face of the enemy, that this was her sacrifice for Al-Imam Al-Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. As for their father, Abdullah ibn Ja'far, it has been narrated that once he was amongst his companions, and then a man came and he told him, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." What happened to us because of Hussein? Many people got killed. Your sons got killed, O Abdullah. Abdullah became furious. He threatened to hit that person and he told him, "Shame on you. Shame on you for saying this. I sacrificed my two sons for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. I swear by Allah, if I could join him, I would also die fighting Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. But I couldn't go, so I sent my two sons." Don't ever say something like that. Look at this father, how much iman there was in his heart. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا آلَ مُحَمَّدٍ أَيَّمٌ قَلَبِيًّا قَلِبُونَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والناس، واجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه والمقاتلين بين يديه. اللهم اشفي كل مريض، اللهم اقضي دين كل مدين، اللهم اقضي حوائج المحتاجين، اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الحسين، اللهم ارزقنا شفاعة الحسين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.